All right, welcome in. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Nate Vaughn. We are in Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park, thinking about the Vikings and here to talk about the Vikings with you. Now, Nate and I, a couple of weeks ago, promised you more guests to come on board to the Wobcast, and we are delivering on that promise today. We have Sirius XM NFL Radio's Jim Miller set to join the show. He was kind enough to join us to talk all things Vikings, where the Vikings stand with Teddy, how Jim would use the 23rd pick to help the Vikings, a rule proposal that he's pushing, and then, of course, Jim's tie to the Vikings front office. We'll get into all of that with Jim. Our guest is a current co-host of Moving the Chains on Sirius XM NFL Radio Channel 88 from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. You can catch Jim Miller, along with Pat Kerwin, on Moving the Chains. Jim is our guest today, a Michigan native who played at Michigan State, a sixth-round pick in 1994, spent time on NFL rosters with the Lions in 98, the Bears, and from 1998 to 2002, so he's familiar with our division, also spent some time with Pittsburgh and New England. As someone who keeps a close eye on the Bears currently and as a host on NFL Radio, Jim knows the ins and outs of the entire league, but especially of our division, so we bring him in today to talk about the Vikings and a few other topics. Jim, it's Mike Wobshaw with the Wobcast. Love your show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Sounds like you guys have a lot of fun moving the chains with Pat Kerwin on Sirius XM NFL Radio on what you call, Jimmy, the great Channel 88. You guys have a lot of fun, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we have a great time. Obviously, Pat's been in the football business for a long time, and for me, you know, it's just a way for me to get my football fix. When I retired from football, you never go out the way you want to with injury. But for me, it allows me to talk about the game I love. I enjoy it.
And this is a fun time to talk about the game. You know, there are no games. And so a lot of people that you talk to, your friends or whoever, they wonder what you do in the off season. But I'm always explaining to people that this is as busy, if not busier, than we are during the season. Wouldn't you agree?
It really is. You know, this is really, you know, a heart of a season and all the preparation that goes to get you ready for the next year. You know, there's always going to be new pieces to the puzzle as teams are going to add players, obviously get rid of some players, and you got to get all those ingredients to pretty much gel every year. It truly is a one-year season, so to speak. You know, I go back to think about 2 years ago when Mike Zimmer became the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. He was determined to get that defense playing up to a top-tier level, and it certainly has showed itself over the past two seasons, the way that defense has made a jump in Minnesota.
Yeah. You know, I think a cool aspect, Jim, of your show with Pat is the rapport that you have with fans and specifically with your callers. I mean, you know, you guys have a big group of regular callers who call in, and you guys have a lot of fun back and forth with that crew. And it's kind of amazing. The NFL has that effect on people. And it seems like you guys have a lot of fun doing that. I always kind of want to call in myself. I never do because I'm with the team, but maybe I should lob one in and see if Eddie, your producer, will let me in.
Well, we get quite a few Minnesota Vikings fans out there that call in, and hey, we just, you know, it's kind of like bellying up to the bar and having a beer at the local corner bar, and you get to know all the callers. They're huge football fans that you mentioned, and they know their teams, and they talk about the sport that we all love. So it truly is an enjoyable job to have.
I was walking down the hallway. I knew that we had this chat coming up with you today. I was walking down the hallway here at Winter Park, and I stopped into someone's office, and I brought you up just to see what he had to say about you. It was George Payton. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
You remember George?
Former Bear. Yeah, he's in the front office of the Bears. George's the best, man. He's moved on and moved up. He's doing a great job under Rick Spielman there in Minnesota.
Yeah, he had a lot of good things to say about you. He, you know, he remembers signing you and why they signed you and what he thought you brought to the team from a leadership and a winner standpoint. So he had a lot of good things to say about you, which was good to hear. I want to ask you about Teddy, and you know, I think the way I want to frame it for you and then just let you go and take it wherever you want to take it is if there is a big football fan, someone who liked the sport of football but he's from another planet, and he came to Earth and he asked you about Teddy Bridgewater. So you got a fan who knows about the game but doesn't know a lot about Teddy. How would you describe it to that fan? Where are the Vikings at with Teddy Bridgewater right now, and what do you think's ahead?
I think he's a very quiet leader. You know, he's just calm, cool, and collected, but he's got a lot of belief in himself. He has a lot of confidence, and I think that exudes with the way he plays. I think he's extremely tough. You know, I go back to the games like where he got beat up against Denver, got hit pretty hard, and he just continues to pick himself off the turf. One thing I love about him for a young quarterback is he's a tremendous decision maker. I mean, even from his rookie season, when he came in, he learned to throw the ball away and not take big hits and not give or lead to negative yardage for your team. You know, it's hard for a lot of young quarterbacks when you're dropping back on 2nd and 10 and you don't get rid of the football, or 1st and 10 and then you get sacked and it becomes a 2nd and 7 situation or a 3rd and 14 situation. Those are negative situations that can really be affected if the quarterback just doesn't have good decision-making qualities to get rid of the football. You're not going to complete every football, and sometimes the best decision is just to throw it away. So I really love and think it's a strong suit for Teddy Bridgewater is his toughness and his decision-making.
You know, a big talker surrounding Teddy in the passing game was pass protection last year. And, you know, Coach Zimmer said it himself at the combine that, you know, he just felt like there was too much pressure that was allowed. So, as you know from playing the position, from playing quarterback in the NFL, pass protection is not just offensive linemen. It falls at the feet of backs and tight ends. It falls at the feet of receivers getting open, the play caller being responsible, the quarterback getting the ball out. But when it comes to the offensive line, the Vikings made two additions this offseason, Alex Boone, a guard, and then Andre Smith, a tackle. What did you think about those two additions? When some of your callers call in and ask you about those two guys, what have you been telling people?
Yeah, I think they're tough, hard-nosed guys to really beef up the run game. I think everybody knows how much Cincinnati has run the football with what they want to do with Giovanni Bernard and the kid from LSU, who's a fantastic running back as well. And Andre Smith really led the way. I mean, a lot of your power runs are going to be on the right side of the line. And we look at Andre Smith, he is a big, beefy right tackle. And now you look with the addition of Alex Boone, and he comes from an offense out in San Francisco. Think about what they used to do with the power plays, you know, whether it was Frank Gore or what they wanted to do with Carlos Hyde. I think Alex Boone brings a lot of toughness, especially at the guard position. And now when you look at it overall, now Minnesota has a lot of depth. You know, you think about the right tackle, you got a good backup in Phil Loadholt, who took a reduced pay to remain with the Minnesota Vikings because he knows it's an up-and-coming team with Mike Zimmer leading it. And now you've got a little flexibility with T.J. Clemmings. I mean, he's a good enough athlete. People forget he was recruited as a defensive lineman to Pittsburgh. He's a really good athlete that is still learning the offensive line position. And ultimately, maybe he could swing over and now back up Khalil at the left tackle spot. So this is a much more formidable offensive line to get that run game cranked up even more for the Minnesota Vikings to protect Teddy Bridgewater.
How would you, when you look at the Vikings in the draft, they're sitting there at pick 23, and I know that you and Pat have been doing your mock drafts, your fan mocks. How would you like to be able to help the Vikings at 23? I mean, if you had your druthers, you know, do you go with a receiver to help the quarterback? And if so, who do you like? Or do you go somewhere else? Do you give Zimmer a stud defensive player? Do you add another lineman to help protect Teddy? If you could have your druthers, how would you help the Vikings at 23?
Well, I think, you know, there's still an area, you know, defensively that they need to fill, and it's the little linebacker position. I think Vikings fans all assume that Chad Greenway is going to resign and it could be his, you know, last hurrah as he makes his tour around the NFL. But as of right now, he's still currently unsigned. Brought in Emmanuel Lemire, who obviously Mike Zimmer knows well from his days in Cincinnati. He can fill in right now at the will linebacker spot, but I think you've got to think about the future. And I think guys out there that are definitely out of Ohio State could potentially be in the wheelhouse at 23. I don't mind the receiver thought. It's, you know, Laquon Treadwell certainly is the one that's talked about the most in the first round, but there's some other receivers out there that are definitely speedsters and could be a deep threat. But I think you can get those guys like a Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma even later in the draft. He's not big in size, but he can stretch the field. He's got unbelievable speed and can run past pretty much anybody. Because I'm not willing, much like Zimmer and Rick Spielman, I'm not willing to give up on Cordarrelle Patterson. I still think that guy has a lot of talent. It's just taking him it's taking him a little bit of time to learn a new offense in Minnesota. I think that's what Zimmer and, and the coaching staff is really focused on, because he's got a tremendous amount of ability to make plays. I think Vikings fans have seen it in the return game, and now it needs to kind of manifest itself at the X receiver position this year.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Jim. I think the Vikings of any team may feel the most emboldened to wait for, and they could pick a receiver at 23, but the Vikings may feel safe waiting until the second or middle rounds. I mean, look at who they have right now. You know, Adam Thielen, obviously an undrafted guy. He's a guy that plays. I mean, Jarius Wright was a middle round pick. Stephon Diggs was a fifth round pick last year. Charles Johnson went undrafted. So you obviously want a super talented player if you can get one, but the Vikings have had success in those middle rounds with receivers, and so maybe they can, you know, they may feel as safe as any team waiting until the second or later rounds to get a receiver and then go somewhere else at 23. And let's remember, I mean, a lot of GMs just like to take good football players early in the draft and not necessarily fill needs. Don't you think there's some merit to that?
Oh, absolutely, especially, you know, defensive linemen. And, you know, you got to love what Zimmer has done with the defense there. I truly think it's a, you know, it's a top-tier defense just in points allowed, how Minnesota is just, you know, the last 2 years has just pretty much leapfrogged everybody. They were one of the worst teams in the NFL a couple of years ago in points allowed per game, and now we're in top five with what they allow. So, I mean, that's only because it is so talented on the defensive line. You always like to have a defensive line rotation, whether it's at D tackle, whether it's at defensive end. That could be another area that they target because there's just such quality in the first round. So there's a lot of guys that are going to be available. And I think for Minnesota, with what they've done this offseason, they've left themselves a lot of flexibility where they truly could just take the best player on the board.
And if that player is Jack Conklin from Michigan State, I know you, a Michigan State alum, you wouldn't mind that for the Vikings, would you?
Yeah, he can play left tackle. He can play right tackle. He's got starts at both. I've talked to some scouts and GMs that think he's a Pro Bowl guard.
There you go.
So he's a very versatile offensive lineman. He comes with a chip on his shoulder, and he's well coached. Mark D'Antonio does a great job at Michigan State. And when you look at Conklin, he was a walk-on at Michigan State. He kind of earns his stripes. So he kind of comes in the door with a little chip on his shoulder. And he pretty much told Pat and I that on SiriusXM NFL Radio.
Cool. Hey, one last thing, Jim, before we go. And you and Pat have talked about this on SiriusXM NFL Radio and on the Real Football Network, where you guys put a ton of time and effort into that website with great content there. And I talked about this briefly last week on the Wobcast with the rules changes, but I love your guys' idea, and I even brought it up last week, replacing kickoffs with punts. You know, we've eliminated chop blocks. There's a new ejection rule, some other modifications, but I think this kickoff rule is probably the thing that fans will notice the most when they watch games next season. So go through that idea that you and Pat had, because I think it's really interesting, and I'd like you to go through it a little bit.
Yeah, essentially the kickoff, the NFL is trying to eliminate it. Obviously, we know it's a high collision play, where everybody from L1 to L5 and R1 to R5 are sprinting down the field. It becomes really just a 40-yard sprint that becomes a car crash. And the league is trying to take those explosive blows or minimize them in a game. So the new touchback rule, they're encouraging kickers to kick it through the end zone, and the team would get the ball on the 25-yard line. A lot of teams do not like that and won't like that. So it's on a trial basis. But what Pat and I proposed is, if you recognize it's a dangerous play, just eliminate it. Now you can use the punt play. So you would start a game where the long snapper, the punting unit, goes on the field, and they open the game with a punt. And we positioned it, because the average punt in the NFL is about 50 yards, 45 to 50 yards. So if you punt from the 40-yard line, your returner would probably be down around the 10. It goes through the end zone, it's still a touchback, you get the ball at the 20. If the punting team is able to pin the runner back, that'd be a bonus, because a lot of teams do not want to give up that yardage and want to pin you inside the 20-yard line. Plus, now it becomes a more exciting play, because the average punt return is only 8 yards in the NFL. And so you still have the ability, if the guy did return it, to still get him pinned inside the 20-yard line, where scoring is definitely affected. From an offense, when you have got a starting point inside the 20-yard line.
Yep.
Last but not least, it now becomes a more exciting play. Out of 1,080 kick returns last year in the NFL, only 7 were returned for touchdowns. Out of punts, punts were doubled. Punt returns for touchdowns were 13. Blocked punts were 17. So Pat and I predict punt returns would go up, which would double. So you probably get what was 13. You probably average in the 30-yard punt returns on the opening play of the game. Plus, in terms of punt blocks, we predict that that would probably, if you go 17 blocks, it would probably go up minimum double to about 34 punt blocks. So essentially, you could see a punt block return for a touchdown on the opening kickoff, which would be an unbelievably exciting play. Plus, it minimizes the risk factor. If the punt team are within only a yard of each other, really you've only got the gunners flying down, but they've got defenders on them as well to slow them down. And so I think it satisfies everybody. Would it become an inconsequential play in the kickoff now, which when you go and grab your beer at the vending machine and then you come back, I don't care, I'm going to miss the kickoff. Well, we know it's going to be a touchback anyway. So just eliminate it, and now you'll have every fan in the seat watching the opening play, which would be a punt, because there's a lot of exciting scenarios that could unfold in that situation.
Yeah, exactly, and I love it. You know, and you can have, you know, you guys have said you can still fake the punt, so you have that onside kick element in there as well. So you fake a punt, gain 10 yards, you retain possession, you know. And the reason I love this, Jim, too, is, you know, the alternative right now is let's eliminate kickoffs and everyone starts on the 20-yard line. You know, and you're going to have special teams coaches and even head coaches going nuts about that and players going nuts about that. You know, here the alternative is you're replacing a special teams play with another special teams play. So I think you're right that it does satisfy everyone, and it's the kind of outside-the-box idea that I love and that is really fun for conversation. I know you and Pat have gotten a lot out of it talking about it on air.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it. It's just, you know, like you said, I hate the fact that the third phase of the game is somewhat being eliminated. Mm-hmm. You know, at least last year they made it more difficult with the extra points because it was a boring play. They moved it back, and to the satisfaction of the NFL, I think they got it right. There were more missed extra points. Shoot, the biggest one ever was in the AFC Championship game. Gostkowski, who's probably Steady Eddie, as there is as a kicker in the NFL, he misses an extra point, and lo and behold, Bill Belichick is chasing points the rest of the game. So the third phase is a big part of football, and the punting is a big part of football. Now you've got an opportunity to just make it more exciting and keep that element of special teams involved as much as the other two phases.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, Jim, we're going to let you go. I know you got a lot of stuff to get to, but really fun to have you on the show. Thanks a lot for taking some time to chat with us. And good luck, continued success with your show on Sirius XM NFL Radio and with your great stuff at the Real Football Network. Appreciate your time, Jim.
Well, thank you so much. Make sure you tell Rick Spielman and George Payton that says hello. Those are good men in that building.
They definitely haven't forgotten about you. I walked in, brought your name up, and George Payton smiled right away, and I couldn't get out of there for 10 minutes. He was telling me stories about it. I won't share all the stories, but they were good stories, okay?
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Okay, see you, Jim. All right, let's move on to our next topic, Nate. You have on here sound from Solomon Wilcots of NFL Network suggesting Mike Zimmer may be the 2016 Coach of the Year.
2016 comes around. It's the end of the season. Who is taking home that head coaching honor this season?
I'm emphatic with this one because I love Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer is a difference maker as a coach. And remember, anytime you can snap the Green Bay Packers 4 consecutive division titles, and he just went in his second season, he took the Vikings from being one of the worst teams in the division to being the best team in the division with a very young quarterback. He's a demanding coach. He's a tough coach. And he's building a bully on the defensive side of the ball because he knows he's got to go and take on Aaron Rodgers up at Lambeau. And so they'll have a great defense. To me, it's really about how fast can you accelerate the growth of the young quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. But in my mind, I think he's poised to not only win another division title, but he could end up becoming the Coach of the Year in 2016.
Went 7-9 to 11-5 in just a year.
Well, Nate, you and I have something in common with Solomon Wilcots.
What's that?
We all like Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
I think all Vikings fans like what they just heard from Solomon Wilcots. And there's no question that Zimmer has the faith and admiration of this fan base. And that began when he took over in 2014 through a 7-9 season that was below 500, but was an improvement from what fans had seen in the past and was clearly Mike Zimmer taking the team in the right direction all the way through an 11-5 season in 2015 that resulted in a division title and playoff berth. So there's no question that fans love Mike Zimmer. I also get a lot of emails from fans, actually, asking why Rick Spielman doesn't receive accolades like this, because there are some media outlets that hand out executive of the year type awards. At the end of the day, though, and as you noted, Nate, Zimmer himself probably doesn't necessarily like to hear all of this because he likes to fly himself and fly his team under the radar.
Yeah, and it's hard to stay that way when you win a division title in your second year.
Yeah, and that's, you know, going back to several Wobcasts ago, you know, we kind of said one of the big things that we were going to watch this offseason is what is the narrative surrounding the Vikings? Because going into 2015, they were coming off a 7-9 season, and Green Bay was clearly the front runner in the division. So the Vikings could cruise along as underdogs, as a team that no one expected much from, and take on the persona of no one believes in us, can't wait to show them how wrong they are. And now perhaps you can't really take that route. Now it's more like, well, whether you think it's us or Green Bay who's going to win the division, you think it's going to be one of us, so we kind of have to act like a team with a target on its back. And so that's a much different persona for a team to take. So while we love hearing Solomon Wilcott say what he said, and while Nate and I certainly agree and we hope it happens, we're guessing that Mike Zimmer doesn't necessarily like to hear all that. He likes to be the underdog. And I guess at the end of the day, that is actually why fans like Mike Zimmer so much.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not all about being fancy and outlandish and attention-seeking. He's nose to the grindstone. Do the dirty work, get it all done behind the scenes, let the chips fall where they may, add up the wins at the end of the season, and
well,
see where you stand.
Even one of the biggest improvements in the past 2 years has been the defense, obviously. And when credited with the improvement of the defense this offseason, his response is like, yeah, we played okay in spurts. Like, we're still nowhere near he wants it to be, which is kind of a test to that right there.
Exactly. And I think you're always going to have that attitude from him. And I think the time you won't hear that attitude from him is the night after, or the night of, the Vikings Super Bowl victory, and then the next morning when he gives his press conference, the morning after press conference. Those two times you might sense a sigh of relief from Mike Zimmer. Other than that, that's the attitude you're going to get from him, and I think that's why he's been such a good head coach for so long, and I think that's why he's got the Vikings going in the right direction. All right, helping the Vikings to continue to move in the right direction will be the 2016 NFL Draft. Now, one of the things that happens in the buildup to an NFL draft is the run of pro days that all the top programs, and not all the top programs, all of the programs have for their athletes to help them showcase their skills and abilities in front of NFL coaches, scouts, and GMs. Well, Texas Christian University, commonly known as TCU, recently had their pro day, and that, of course, means wide receiver Josh Doctson, who has been linked to the Vikings by so many mock drafters, was there working in front of Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman.
For Josh Doctson, but this is a guy certainly with first-round talent. If it's not first-day talent, it is second-day talent. Someone's getting him, and someone's probably plugging him immediately into that lineup. Impressions, Curtis, on this guy?
Just a great all-around wide receiver. And again, I had Will Fuller going ahead of him, but this guy is an all-around wide receiver. When you look at his size, he's about 6'2", about 205, but being able to run after the catch. Yeah, he ran 4-5, but he doesn't play like 4-5. Again, being able to make something happen after the catch. And right here, we talk about hands. Don't worry about it with him. He can definitely bring it in with his size and strength and get in the end zone, making his quarterback look good. That's what you want. A 41-inch vertical. He can be covered. You can throw the ball up. He's going to be able to go up and get it. That's a quarterback's dream, because in the National Football League, you're not going to be able to always get a step on the DB. Sometimes the quarterback has to throw it up and rely on you making the play. Doctson, in my opinion, is a better playmaker.
It should be noted, Mike Zimmer, the Vikings, was running Doctson through some individual drills today at TCU Pro Day. I know they're a good fit. Is that the best fit for him?
I think so. Because when you look at 22, 23, Minnesota's at 23, Houston's at 22, Cincinnati's at 24. Dotson has the best chance of being a number one. And if he goes to Houston or Cincinnati, he won't be a number one. In Minnesota, he will be a number one. He can slide into that position. They can move him around again. 4-5 speed, but he plays fast on the field. He can go up and get the ball. I can see North Turner using him as a number one receiver.
Would look pretty good next to Stephon Diggs, who had a very nice rookie season last year. He was a steal in the later rounds.
So there you have an interesting breakdown, and not just a surface-level breakdown of Josh Doctson and what he is, but why potentially he's a good fit for the Vikings and, as he was saying, a better fit for the Vikings than the two teams on either side of the Vikings in the first round of the draft, the Houston Texans, who are at 22, and then the Cincinnati Bengals, who are at 24. So a lot of interesting stuff here. It's a wide receiver, so it's a fun position to talk about regardless of anything else, but it happens to be a year in which you can see the Vikings addressing wide receiver in this draft. And I think it's interesting that Mike Zimmer is on the field with Josh Doctson at his pro day, basically providing press coverage and maybe giving Josh Doctson tips on how to beat press coverage. Because if you go and look at the film, perhaps you don't see a lot of press coverage being played against Josh. That's interesting and pretty cool. I mean, if you're a college player coming out into the draft, you have Mike Zimmer lined up across from you at your pro day.
Yeah, known as one of the better defensive back coaches that there's been in quite a while.
You know, and a guy, Mike Zimmer, that engages in hyperbole, ever in hyperbole. So, like, he's out there on the field working with you because he actually he cares about this.
Probably trying to rough him up a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Get him in shape. Is he trying to get him in Viking shape? You know, we won't know until the draft. Is he trying to fake that he likes him? You know, we won't know until the draft. But this is the time of year where it's really fun to talk about all of that stuff. Laquon Treadwell, another receiver being linked to the Vikings a bunch, has already had his pro day. And so we're going to continue to hear chatter about wide receiver in the Vikings all the way up until and through the draft. And, you know, I think it's interesting because everyone and their mother seems to be pinning a wide receiver to the Vikings at 23, and it could happen, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think when you look at names like Treadwell, Doctson, Corey Coleman, those are guys that if you want them, you're probably going to have to take them at 23. But I think you got guys like Will Fuller, who you like, Nate, from Notre Dame. You got Michael Thomas from Ohio State, Tyler Boyd from Pittsburgh, who you may not necessarily have to take at 23. And then there are others. I like, to look at some of the not big name receivers and see where they could fall in the draft, and maybe you can get them. I mean, look at Stephon Diggs. No one had Stephon Diggs pegged to the Vikings, and they took him in the fifth round last year. You got a guy like Rashard Higgins, Malcolm Mitchell from Georgia. So, I mean, lots of good receivers in this class. And while there isn't like the Amari Cooper, the no doubt about it, no brainer, early pick, going to be a stud receivers in this draft, I think there are a lot of guys like Corey Coleman, like Michael Thomas, Will Fuller, guys who create a lot of depth in this wide receiver draft class. So it'll be fun to see how it all shakes out. And again, you have the Houston Texans at 22, the Vikings at 23, and the Bengals at 24. And if you look at some mock drafts, you have all three of those teams taking wide receivers in some mocks, which if that happens, it will be interesting because the Vikings will have taken one. But then if you're another team in the draft, it's like, think about your fantasy football draft. Like when the first two people take tight ends, all of a sudden you're like, okay, oh God, I got to get my tight end list out. You know, like that could happen. And so like, if you're Will Fuller and you're not going to be one of the first three receivers taken, probably, I mean, you want those three guys to go in a role like that because now teams start to panic and, it can have that effect on teams. So, more talk on wide receivers bound to come up down the line, but that'll be it for today. Anything else to touch on in the Wobcast?
No. Is it time for the draft yet?
We're getting there.
Only another month to talk about it.
Right.
A little less than a month, but still.
Yeah. We're going to keep the guests rolling, though. I was thinking, we have EJ Henderson on staff here at the Vikings. He's, the youth football manager. He's a guy that we could tap into, have him talk about some linebackers in this draft. We have Ben Lieber, who's a part of the Vikings Radio Network. He's a guy we could perhaps lean on. So we thank our recent guests, Ross Tucker and Jim Miller, both of Sirius XM NFL Radio, for joining us. We also look forward to having more guests on the Wobcast in the coming weeks as we lead up to the 2016 NFL Draft. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This edition of the Wobcast is over, but we're going to be back again soon. Until then, have a great time, everyone. Talk to you later. So, yeah, I start with